It's so simple. Like it sounds silly to even think about saying we need to be able to listen, but how many times have you or someone you know been to the doctor, or I'll say this is great for relationships with significant others. Like you have a legitimate problem. You're telling someone, you can already tell that they're not listening because they've already decided what their answer is. And so what I do is I stop, I sit in the moment and I listen and respond honestly. And that's, it sounds simple, but patients really seem to respond to it.
Welcome to the Balance Wellness Solutions Podcast with pharmacist Dr. Courtney Sanfelice, where we will discuss all things related to health and wellness, getting to the root cause of health issues, and learning how to create a balance to obtain all of your wellness goals. Hot topics including CBD, gut health, nutrition, immune boosters, Ayurvedic health, women's health, essential supplements, and so many more. Here's your host, Courtney Sanfelice.
Welcome, everyone. Dr. Courtney Sanfelice here with Corey Jenks, who earned his doctorate degree of pharmacy from the University of South Carolina in 2011. Since then, he has practiced as a retail pharmacist, outpatient clinical pharmacist, and inpatient clinical pharmacist. He currently is practicing clinical pharmacist and improv comedian. Corey travels the country teaching healthcare professionals how to apply the valuable skills of improv comedy to create a more adaptable, empathetic, and humanizing healthcare experience for both patients and providers. That's so cool. Corey lives in Tucson, Arizona with his wife, Cassie, their two children, and 10 chickens. So welcome, Corey. How are you today?
I am doing dandy. It is bright and early out here in the desert. So ready to chat and share my weird slice of pharmacy life, I guess, not weird, but I guess pretty unique.
I love it. I'm so excited. But before we dive in, I just have to ask, 10 chickens. So my best friend just got, she got 6 baby chicks. They're so cute. They're still babies and adorable. So like, what's it like with 10 chickens?
sorry. Since that bio has been written, we're down to 8 chickens. We had an incident with a coyote, but it's great. We have a couple of young kids, they're 2 and 4. And so it's really fun for them to see where food comes from. I'm a pharmacist, but I would argue that one of the healthiest pills you could take is an egg. Like it's to be able to know how our chickens are treated and what they're eating, is really fun. It's a fun challenge. And, we're currently adding on to our chicken run, so they have a little more space to run around. That's safe. So, but it's a lot of fun. They're cute when they're chicks, and then they're pretty cool when they're grown up and giving you food every day.
It's awesome. I know I'm watching the process with my friend, and they're all like babies in their little baby playpens, and she has this whole thing she's building outside. So I'm just fascinated by it. I'm watching it as it's happening from like the beginning. So, so thanks for sharing.
Sure.
So let's talk. What got you interested in improv comedy?
Well, I think ever since I was like a kid, maybe I love my parents, but they let me have a TV in my room. So I've been watching The Simpsons since I was like 5 years old. So I always enjoyed watching comedy. And then the next day, this was back in my day, you couldn't just binge shows. You had to watch them when they turned on. So you'd go to school the next day and talk about the episode from the last night and like that, Saturday Night Live. And so I just always loved doing the characters. And so like I always had an interest in comedy. And then in college, there was actually an improv group that I went and saw and was like, oh, that's amazing. And I was being a good pharmacy student. And was like, but I don't have time for that. So I was like, I'm going to focus on school. And so I just kind of put that interest aside. And then I finished my residency, finished my board certification exam. I was like, I have this weird thing called free time. And my wife was asking me, you know, what I had a birthday coming up. Like, what do you want for your birthday? I said, guitar lessons or improv classes. And so today we're talking about how I do improv and not play guitar for healthcare. So I think that answers what happened there. But it was just one of those things. I took a class and loved it and took another class. And we had a small theater here in town. And so I just got to perform and got to the point where I was teaching classes, coaching teams, ran our comedy school for a while. And so along the way, really realized, oh, this has made me not just, you know, a pretty decent entertainer, but also much more in touch with my patients, much more empathetic, a much better listener, and just overall team player as well.
I think that's awesome. And I mean, just even examples, like how do you feel like it has helped your patients? Have you like seen specific cases? I'm sure along the way there's ones that stand out that you can really say like, wow, I really made a difference.
Well, I can think of like one guy that it was new to me. I was at the time, I was like a float pharmacist. So I'd just cover wherever. And so every patient was new to me. And so pharmacists, we like routine. And so the fact that I was comfortable just being a new guy every day was a testament to how improv had helped me. But he was very disengaged with his diabetes care. And was insistent that metformin was causing his insomnia. And I was pretty sure that doesn't commonly happen. I checked all the resources, but what we do in improv, one of our main tenets is to say yes. We say yes, and. And so when he said that this metformin had been causing him insomnia for 10 years and no one would listen to him, I said, yeah, it might be, and let's stop it. And he was like, what? He was ready to be angry with me. I said, but you got to start checking your blood sugar. Like, his A1C was over 9. He really never checked his sugar, like really disengaging his care. I said, we'll try for 2 weeks, see if your sleep gets better. He was like expecting me to tell him you're crazy. And so I was like, we'll talk in 2 weeks, but you got to check your sugars. And he called me like the next day, like panicked that his blood sugars were high. And I was like, great, you're actually engaging your care. Like, I'm not happy your sugars are high, but you stopped the metformin. We're trying things out and you're actually taking care of yourself. So that's just one instance where I think going by the book, like pharmacists were very left brain by the book people. We'd say, well, it can't be the metformin, it must be something else. I said, well, it's in my head, like, I'm like pretty sure it's not the metformin, but let's try this out. And it got him engaged in his care, and it helps to garner that trust too.
Absolutely. I think just coming from another pharmacist, we see it all the time with patients. And sometimes it's, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can tell them everything that they could or should be doing, and then they might be all gung-ho ready to go. And then, you know, when you check in, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? And, you know, and it can be frustrating for us. You know, we can do all that we can do, but if they're not engaging, so that you know, like you said it in a funny way, like, yeah, great, your blood sugar's high, but you actually listened to me. So that's awesome.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, when friends of mine go and see a show, like when I'm like putting my comedy hat on and you see an improv show. And if people who are not familiar with improv comedy, if you've ever seen like Whose Line Is It Anyway, it's basically a form of theater where everything is made up. And we have shows where we take one word and turn it into 30 minutes, 45 minutes of material. And people wonder, how do you come up with all that stuff? And getting back to what you say about people being disengaged in their care, it's about finding the why. So if you, as a character, if your want or why is, you know, for example, I want someone to notice my haircut. Everything you say or do is going to be filtered through this want of people to notice your haircut. Well, patients have a want too. Some of them is to be left alone. Sometimes some of my patients just want to not be bugged. Some of them, I had a patient who was, again, uncontrolled diabetes, but he got a new job and he needed it controlled for his job. He found his why. Grandkids, seeing graduations, smoking cessation, things like that. So it's really, I've learned to find the why in patients to try to engage them in caring about their health.
Absolutely. I can relate to that. I mean, just as a pharmacist and looking at the big picture, you know, the things we go through on the daily to see how, you know, it's just always a Band-Aid slapped on. And, you know, we're the pharmacist that's just supposed to, oh, you get the letter from the doctor, we'll give you the prescription. And a lot of times, you know, great, Western medicine's good. There's a lot of prescriptions that can really help people. You know, but there's also a lot that can cause more side effects that can actually cause more harm, or can actually just slap a Band-Aid on it. And people just keep coming back and saying, well, they still don't feel good, or they're feeling worse because now they're having side effects from the medication. So like you as a pharmacist, like when you're seeing this, and I know that you see it because we all see it as pharmacists, but like, what's your frustration as a pharmacist, and how do you find, is this like a point where you would incorporate your improv to help them understand what's going on and to kind of be like, you know?
Well, I think, and I'll bring my wife into this. She's a nurse practitioner and she's done improv training too. One of the things that, one thing I really try to think about is with healthcare, we don't always control the outcome. There's so much beyond our control. In improv, everything is unknown. Healthcare, there really is a lot of unknown. But one thing that our patients consistently tell us, and I'll never say I'm the best pharmacist, she'll never claim she's the best nurse practitioner. The one thing that our patients will tell us is that you're the first person who's listened to me. And to me, that makes me really sad. I think that's my frustration point, is that a lot of times in these healthcare interactions, it's a very one-way conversation. It's the provider telling the patient this. It's the provider not listening to what a patient's true concern is. And I mean, I've had patients come into my office for blood pressure or diabetes. And the first 10 minutes is just them yelling at me about their pain control and how poorly it's been done. And I just sit there and I listen. And I don't get upset. And then when they're done, they're usually like, I'm sorry, I just needed to tell somebody. I'm like, I know, it's fine. I would be upset too. And so incorporating the idea of listening and empathy, because like the way I incorporate improvisation is people think, oh, you got to be so funny to do improv. And I will tell you, I'm living proof. You do not need to be funny to do improv, but you just need to be able to listen and respond. And if you're intelligent, you're actually, these are the best improvisers. I think pharmacists can make great improvisers if we're willing to give up that control. So like in a scene, you can't be thinking of like a joke or a funny line. All you do is listen to what's being said and respond. If we can do that with our patients, I think that really overcomes a lot of the big pain points I see in healthcare, is that people are not listened to. They're not seen, heard, and understood. And this is with our patients. This could be with administration and management as well. If any, you know, managers are out there listening, a lot of times employees don't feel heard. And so it's so simple. Like it sounds silly to even think about saying we need to be able to listen, but how many times have you or someone you know been to the doctor, or I'll say this is great for relationships with significant others, like you have a legitimate problem, you're telling someone, you can already tell that they're not listening because they've already decided what their answer is. And so what I do is I stop, I sit in the moment, and I listen and respond honestly. And it sounds simple, but patients really seem to respond to it.
No, you are 120% right. That is my life right now. So I work at a small independent family-owned pharmacy. And, mm-hmm. you know, before COVID, I had a lot more time to make one-on-one appointments with people. I had a lot more time when I wasn't, you know, vaccinating or doing testing, where I was able to go out on the floor and help them, you know, listen, like you said, just listen to them and maybe make some suggestions, whether it be about nutrition or to be about supplements or just anything. Oh, you're feeling that way? Well, let me take a peek at your drug profile. There's might be something that might be causing that side effect. And I hear it from a lot of colleagues that are doctors, nurse practitioners, PAs, where they're so frustrated with the healthcare system because they have X amount of minutes that they have with each patient. By the time the good ones sit and actually do listen, they've got just a few minutes to write a script and send them away, and they don't have the time to do what they want to do, to actually talk about lifestyle modifications or, you know, nutritional changes. So it's just this system that just keeps going on in a circle where, you know, it's like, where are the clinicians going to step up and be like, all right, let's make some changes. And I did that more recently in the past year, where I formed a functional medicine practice. It's all virtual. I still work at the pharmacy a couple of days a week, but that's what it is. It's all about listening to them, giving that time, and seeing any red flags of things that where we as pharmacists can step in and help them make changes and help them actually help them and not just put that Band-Aid on.
Yeah, I think we get a bit hubristic as healthcare professionals saying, well, the drugs will fix it. It can't be the drugs problem. And I see patients routinely on 20, 25, 30 medicines, and there's no way you're not having side effects. Right? Statistically, right. You have to be having some sort of side effect. And so I think you mentioned it before, like Western medicine, I'm not bashing it. Like if you, I worked long ago when I was in pharmacy school, I did a rotation and it was Indian Health, and there was a surgeon there. And in the morning he did acupuncture, in the afternoon he did like surgery stuff. And he said, acupuncture is great when you need it, but if my appendix bursts, I want a surgeon. Like it's okay to have that integration. But to your point, I think, yeah, a lot of the way our system is built is it just gets someone on that treadmill of getting involved in the healthcare system. There's no time to actually get fixed. And the term I hear a lot is punted around. You're punted around from specialty to specialty. And regardless, you get 7, 10, 15 minutes each time. It's just not enough to truly address the root cause problems. And so I'm not saying that incorporating improv can fix the healthcare system, but my goal is how can we work better within the constraints that we have? Like I wrote my book to give people better tools to use it. There's a book to fix healthcare, and this is not the one that's going to fix the policy, but we have to acknowledge reality. That's one thing improvisers do. We accept reality. We say yes to it. So if our reality is we don't get a ton of time with patients, what are some tools we can use to quickly connect with them to make the most of that limited time that we have?
Absolutely. So let's talk about your book, Permission to Care. I can't wait to order it from Amazon today. Oh. Why did you decide to write this book? What brought this to life?
Well, I think that in 2020, I've been doing improv for at that point 7 years, and I enjoy performing locally. And I was thinking of how do I take it to another level? And I was not going to move to a major city. I like it here in town. We have our kids, we have our family, but I had realized the utility of helping other healthcare professionals. And so 2020 is going to be my year. I was going to go out and start speaking, and then COVID happened. And it's like, well, I guess I'm not doing that. And so I had over the course of the years, like I just written down different ideas of how I've been applying it to healthcare, improv to healthcare. And especially like, it was basically March to June of 2020. It's like, well, we're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything. And so I wrote the book because I wanted to get these ideas out, because I thought that it was really something that could be a great tool for those of us on the front lines of healthcare and those of us who are leaders as well. Because, you know, the subtitle is Building a Healthcare Culture That Thrives in Chaos. And healthcare is chaos. If COVID has taught us anything, we have much less control than we'd like to think we do. And so one of my goals is, how can you create this great culture that does, regardless of the outcome for a patient, you can still create a great experience for those of us working, for the people that we're taking care of, and along the way, provide better care. And so it really was to be on brand. It was an improvised move. I wasn't planning on writing the book that year. I had had the idea for a while, but you got to be able to take what's given to you and make the most of it. And so that's what I did. I wrote it in 2020 and then found a publisher in 2021. And here we are in 2022. And it is out at that little local bookstore known as Amazon.
So. Get it, guys. Today I'm going to. It looks awesome. I can't wait to read it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been really cool. I've gotten a lot of great feedback. Interestingly enough, like I work doing disease state management, and my parents have never been able to understand how, as a pharmacist, I work and not like touch pills. And they read the book and they're like, "Oh, I finally know what you do." I'm like, "Oh, it took us 11 years of practicing writing a book, and you finally figured out what I do." But I've had a lot of great feedback. People using the lessons right away. A lot of laughs I've been told, which is, I'd hope as a comedian, I hope that there's some chuckles throughout there. But I think it's a light read, but it's a very useful read as well.
I love it. You are doing great work. And this is what our world needs. This is what healthcare needs. This is what illness needs. It needs some humor, and people need to be able how to find these coping mechanisms amongst all of the chaos. Like it says on your book, building a healthcare culture that thrives in chaos. That's what we're doing every day, right?
Yeah. We're juggling everything that's thrown at us. And I think not to pick on pharmacists, but we attract a certain type. A lot of us are pretty type A. We like things how we like them. And I'll say, at the beginning of my career, I thought, oh, I'll finish pharmacy school. I do a residency and then I'll like be comfortable. And I wasn't comfortable because I expected things to be a certain way. And that is just not how it works. And as the deeper I got into my improv training and performing, the more comfortable I got with just, instead of seeing these things as problems. In improv, there's no mistakes because there's no scripts. Like, you can't mess up a line that isn't written down. But everything that happens, we see as a gift. And so once I was able to see that in my practice, it kind of shifted my mindset. And instead of dreading those conversations with patients that may be a little bit more high maintenance, it becomes sort of a game. And how can I get through to them? How can we work together? How can we fix this problem? And so it turns it from a problem into something that's a little bit more, you know, enjoyable to deal with.
That's so cool. I love it. So what is one improv takeaway our listeners can start using today?
Two words, easiest quiz you'll ever have in pharmacy. It's yes. And we say yes to things and we build upon it. So when I say literally yes, like you still work, you still practice, like we can't say yes to a prescription for 1,000 Percocet, right? That would be irresponsible. But when I say yes, it can be saying yes to the idea of listening to something. So if someone comes in with that prescription for 1,000 Percocet scrawled on a subway napkin, like they're trying to tell us something, right? They have a problem. There's something deeper going on. So be willing to say yes to that and listen. And I really see yes and as a life philosophy, saying yes to new opportunities, new ideas, like yourself, saying yes to taking the risk of starting your own practice or following that passion, saying, you know, I have kids and it's so easy to say, oh, it's late. We just need to go to bed. And a couple of weeks ago, our neighbor said, come over and go swimming. I'm like, it's Monday night. Mondays are for going to sleep. But we said yes and had a great time. And so a lot of doors will open, a lot of eyes will open. And I think we live a world where our default answer is no. I know in healthcare, that's usually what it is, right? I can't get this drug covered. I can't get more time with my patients, but it was so refreshing when I started doing improv and for, you know, a couple hours a week, the default answer is yes. So I think that takeaway would be start saying yes and to more things and see the doors open.
Well, thank you so much for being on today and sharing your story. I think your story inspires so many patients, clinicians, everybody in healthcare systems should read your book. I'm excited. I'm going on to Amazon to order it today.
Well, thank you. I'm biased. I have to admit my bias, but I would agree with you. I think everyone in healthcare could read this and get a couple of cool tips out of it and make their practices a little bit more fun, a little more enjoyable, and a lot more satisfying.
Sounds awesome. Well, I will have it in our show notes. So if anybody wants to have the link to get the book, it will be on the show notes, Permission to Care by Corey Jenks. And I thank you so much for being on, Corey.
Yes. Thank you so much for letting me share the message.
I love it. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media, on Facebook at The Wellness Pharma Chick and online at our website, balancedwellnesssolutions.net. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, take care of yourself and be well.